This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
We pray in the name of the three who are love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three who are over my head, the three who are under my tread, the three who are over me here, the three who are over me there, the three who in heaven do dwell, the three in the great ocean swell, pervading three, O be with us. Amen. Good morning, and happy Trinity Sunday. As is my wont on this feast day, I do like to point a couple of things out, and I would start by asking you to take out the Red Book of Common Prayer and open up to the back to the historical documents of the church, page 867. And you're all thinking, he wasn't kidding about the hour sermon. Well, no. Just a little bit of an intro, but I have a hard act to follow after last week's homilist, so I'm stretching for all I can get. If you will look at the bottom of 867, there begin the Articles of Religion, which came out of the Protestant Episcopal Church, that's us in our early stages, where they proclaimed the certain things that what we believe to be an Episcopalian. And as you see, the first item there is of faith in the Holy Trinity. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, if that didn't hit your hot button, if you'll turn over to page 864, and on the bottom there, you will see the Creed of St. Athanasius. And you might recall, if you took Episcopal 101, that this is a creed that came out of the early controversies of the church about understanding who Jesus was and what the Trinity was all about. And so this is what that creed begins with. If you look down to the fourth line, and the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty coeternal, such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such as the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal, and yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. And also there are not three incomprehensibles, not three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. Any questions? Doesn't exactly make you want to jump up and down and shout hallelujah, does it? But what I want us to go out of this church today, perhaps, is with an increased understanding that the beauty of the Trinity is not about the doctrine. The beauty of the Trinity is about our experience and our participation in it. Let me give you a bit of an example that, for me, sort of puts this into perspective. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the gym. And at the gym, there is a basketball court that is behind a glass door. And I was exercising over by that door, and I looked in, and I saw some rhythmical movements happening, going back and forth by the door. I was intrigued by this, and so I went over and looked inside the door, and there was this couple who had brought their boombox, and they were practicing their dance routine. I am really not into dance that much, but I was absolutely mesmerized by this couple. They were perfect. Every move they made, They matched each other in perfect symmetry. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Well, my look of being mesmerized must have caught the attention of some of the guys who were over there lifting weights, and they must have thought that I was watching LeBron James in there taking some free throws or something, because they all came over to see, what is this guy looking at? Well, guess what? They got as mesmerized as was I by this couple. They were incredible. The couple finishes their routine, and spontaneously I just flung open the door and started to applaud, and all the people behind me did the same thing. Well, this couple, I mean, they were surprised, if not embarrassed. They didn't even know that we were watching them. But they were amazing with the fluidity, with the rhythm, with the perfection with which they danced. Now, that image is what I want you to think about in terms of the Trinity. We talk about, even in some of our hymns, entering into the dance of the Trinity. That this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is perfect. There is perfect communication that takes place between the three. There is this perfect fluidity throughout life that takes place. There is this perfect relationship that exists. Now, what makes it so beautiful for us is that God invites us to enter into that dance of perfect relationship. We know too well how things get messed up. You know, the Celts were the first ones who really started to put this Trinity into perspective for us, because even before they were Christians, the Druids had these gods in the trees. God was everywhere. And this is what this idea of Trinity is about for us, of understanding that God is there throughout and invites us to perceive it and enjoy it. We have had so many similes, metaphors, analogies throughout history. We can't explain the Trinity. It's a mystery. If I say too much up here, I'm going to end up being a heretic. If I say too little, I end up being an infidel. So I try to sort of get in the middle way here. But, you know, we've had the classic thing of the fleur-de-lis or the shamrock to describe it with Patrick, three leaves, but it's one and three. We have the idea of water has three forms. H2O can be a liquid as water. It can be solid as ice. It can be steam. Three manifestations of the same substance. We can talk about a lady who could be a grandmother and a mother and a wife all at the same time, same individual. But they all kind of fall short. And you know, we haven't helped it throughout the ages either in our language, because the first people who started to look at this idea of the Trinity were the Greeks. And the Greeks, I don't know if you've studied this in your high school or college days, but they have a specific word for just about every aspect of something. And they had one word, ousia, which meant being itself. And they could use that word to describe God as one. But they had another word, hypostasis, which sort of talks about the differentiation of being within the one. So now you've got the three and the one, distinct. But when it comes over into the Latin, when the Latin theologians like Tertullian start doing this stuff, the Latins only have one word, and it's substance, substantia, that they use to describe the oneness. Well, the problem with that word is it really in its root form means that which stands under, which has the same connotation of the Greek word that they were using to describe the differentiation. So now you got a little bit of confusion going on. So now the Romans have to come up with another word, so they decide they're going to use the word persona to describe the differentiation in the Trinity. And you, if you have a theatrical background, know this word because it's dramatis personae. Whenever you see the list of the characters in a play, the actors, that's what we call them, personae. Personae had to do with the masks that those actors would wear. So now we've sort of corrupted it. Now we have God wearing three different masks. Now what makes it worse is then we take it into English and we take the persona and what do we say? Three persons. Now it's really going to confuse the populace because how is it still one God when you got three personalities involved? And it gets very confusing. But the important thing is this. We're never going to explain it. We're never going to understand it totally. We're going to experience it. The greatest analogy that I want to leave you with today, I don't take credit for this, it's many different theologians have proposed this. Since God is incomprehensible, that we can't explain God, it is as if God has an additional dimension than we do. So to understand it, you have to pretend that we live in a two-dimensional world, but God has a third dimension. Now to understand this, we have a little bit of a video here that I'd like for us to play at this point. So here we are living in this two-dimensional world, and then God, in the form of the letter A, decides that God wants to come and visit us in the plane. But because we are just two-dimensional, we are not going to be able to see the whole picture. All we're going to experience are two dots. And even if the letter A would fall over, we would not experience God as the A in all of the three-dimensional characteristics. We'd only get a portion. What this tells us is that we are going to have these experiences of God that are like dots. And the beauty of this is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother as well, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, wants us to be able to see those dots in all aspects of our lives. And the amazing thing is that when we start to look for God, we start to find more of the dots to connect. This is what the beauty is here. In my life, when I'm sad, God wants to be there. When I'm happy, God wants to be there. When I'm sick, God wants to be there. When I'm mad, when I'm confused, when I'm lonely, God, when I'm sinful, God wants to touch that part of my life. This is the beauty of Trinity, that we are invited into this dance, that God wants to be with us through all things, all times, all places, that there is nowhere that God does not want to touch our lives. That's pretty amazing. So those times when, you know, I just can't do it myself and I need a higher power that can deliver me, that can protect me, I have God as Father and Mother. There's a dot. There are times in my life, as I tell the kids in school, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. I feel all alone. Nobody understands me. There's a dot. There's a God who is Jesus, who went through everything that I go through yet never sinned, and he understands. And then there are those times when I'm called that I got to do something. I got to use the gifts I've been given, but it's hard. And I might have to confront people and it might be difficult. But there's another dot. It's God, the Holy Spirit, who we celebrated last week. The comforter, the one who gives me strength and enables me to go forward. And the more and more we are attuned to this, the more and more we enter into this dance and we see, there's God. There's God. There's God. And we end up connecting those dots for ourselves. And it gives us meaning and purpose. So, Don't worry about the doctrine. Page 864 and 867, know that they're there, but pay attention to your participation. Enter into this dance, because we are blessed today to celebrate a God who wants to be with us at all times, in all places, through all things. Amen.